Thank you, Dr. Sam. It's not by mistake that our speaker this morning is the founder of an organization called Reasons for Hope. I think we all would agree that in our world, in our country, in our church, in our community, there is definite need for Reasons for Hope. Carl Kirby has been involved with Answers in Genesis for over 15 years, an apologetic organization dealing with basically the defense of your faith. Again, it's not by mistake he is with us this morning, given all the circumstances, persecuted Christians around the world, the situation that's most prominent in our minds in France, and we need to all ask ourselves, what are the reasons for hope? So I would like to introduce to you, and please welcome him with a large Rush Creek welcome, Carl Kirby, to our midst today as he celebrates Reasons for Hope. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's a blessing for me to be with you. I mean that very sincerely. Thank you. Thank you to Dave for making this happen, and thank you for allowing me to be here. I hope you all are ready to go. Okay, I know I'm in the land of the frozen chosen, but you all are going to have to thaw out today. I hope you are ready to go. All right. Mature folks, let me apologize to you right up front, okay? Younger generation has a 2.2-second attention span. That's reality. 2.2-second attention span, that's what the research shows, whether I like it or not. So the Lord has wired me to go after younger generations. So when I get finished here, the number one complaint is going to be, you speak too quickly. And yes, I do, intentionally so. You know, I had a gentleman that came up to me in England, and he goes, I have never heard anybody read Scripture so quickly. When we read Scripture, we read, in the beginning, God. He had a great voice. And I said to him, I said, sir, do you have 2 days? Excuse me? I said, if you want me to speak at that pace, we'll be here 2 days and I won't get through half my talk because I'm coming at you. We're going after a generation that has a 2.2-second attention span, and if I get up there, they're gone. I'm not even going to get to the second word, okay? So I'm coming at you quick this morning. The name of the ministry is Reasons for Hope, and I tell everybody there's lots of reasons for hope. I mean, think about it. Good looks. Yeah, that's not a good one. Trust me, because looks change. I look a whole lot different now than I did 70 pounds ago. I quit counting years. Money in the bank. There's a great reason for hope. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're like most of the other communities that I go to. If you think your hope is going to be in money or in looks or in people patting you on the back and telling you how good you are, that can go away just like that. But if you notice that asterisk, the asterisk leads to the answer. His name is Jesus. And that's where our hope lies. That's what we have. But let's be honest. I can only be straightforward with you guys this morning. 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church, 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church in America are gone by the time they're age 18. You just got done singing a song, and I didn't sing because I listen. And if I sing, trust me, it's not good. But the chorus said, my heart and my soul, I give you control. Remember singing that? From the inside out, I give it to you. Really? Then why are 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church gone by the time they're age 18? Why is Christianity almost invisible in the culture? Why are there 400,000 plus churches across the nation of America and we are invisible? Because we sing beautiful lyrics. I give you control. I give it all to you, my heart and my soul. But don't ask me to walk outside the doors and just kind of stand out and say anything about you. Guys, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you this morning. I can only be straight with you. There's a battle going on. And I want to challenge you this morning to become bold. That's my heart. I want you to become bold. Because until we, the body of Christ, become bold, nothing is going to change. Now, do you have the audio turned up on the computer? Okay. It's been really amazing year for me. Last week I was in Seattle. The week before that I was in Boston. Then I'm here in Grand Rapids. One of my great trips, though, that I really had a blast with was Saskatoon, Canada. You guys ever hear Saskatoon, Canada? I'd never heard of Saskatoon, Canada. I tell you what, we flew over a lot of nothing to get there. But when we got there, it was really a great ministry. I'm going back there next year. I'm actually excited about it. But when I got back from Saskatoon, there was a big news headline, a police car chase in Saskatoon, Canada. You guys didn't hear about this. Well, you never heard of Saskatoon, so you couldn't hear about the car chase. I had to record this because you got to see this. You got to see this. Make sure the audio's up, and you got to see this. This is good stuff. Big police car chase. You didn't hear about that? That's big news of Saskatoon, I'm going to tell you what. Well, no, truth be told, that is not a police car chase in Saskatoon, Canada. It's actually a Canadian Midas tire commercial. But when I saw it, it really struck me as like, Christians can be just like that police officer. Think about it. What's our job in life? It's a very simple purpose: to make him known, to glorify the Lord Jesus, to get out and to be bold about him. 400,000 churches across the nation of America, and we're almost invisible. 50 to 88% of our kids leaving by the time they're age 18. What's going on? I think we're like that police officer. Man stuck, 6 foot in front of you. Walk up, you're under arrest, click, done. Easy day at the office. But no, he gets out and he pushes his car. Christian, we make it too hard. And a part of the reason we make it too hard is because, let's be honest, we'll sing that we give him our soul. We'll sing that we give him control. But do we really? I want to suggest to you that the battle in our culture today is over this right here. It's not about the age of the earth. It's not about creation. It's not about evolution. It's about, can you trust this book? Now, if we're dead straight honest, the reason I talk about the things that I talk about is because they are tools that are being used to get us to doubt this book. So we have to come back to this. We have to show how we use this to give answers to what the world is throwing at a generation. You see, I don't know how to do this without seeming to be a jerk. I can only just be straight with you guys. We have been memorizing Scripture for years, but I'm going to tell you right now, memorization without application is worthless. We have a generation that if they don't know how to apply their faith in this world that we live in, they're gone. I was with 1,000 kids last weekend in Seattle. These are good kids. These are kids raised in the conservative church. And after two days of, I did four or five sessions, I can't remember. And after 2 days of that, you've got young people coming up and crying. And you're talking about fossils, and you're talking about human evolution, and you're talking about how'd you get different colored people if we go back to one man and one woman. Most adults will say, who cares? You have a generation that cares deeply because they want to know how to use this book in the real world. And memorization without application is done. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but James 1:5 is the verse that really strikes me. If you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Remember, you're unfrozen today. What are you supposed to do? Ask who? I'm going to suggest to you that that's where the battle is in our culture today. Who are we turning to when we lack wisdom? We'll read, ask God, but come with me to your local Christian bookstore and let's see who we are really turning to. We're not turning to God. We're turning to man. We got more books from man telling us what to do instead of us getting into the Word of God and studying the Word of God. Why? Because they don't trust this book. Why don't they trust the book? Because of the next verse. Nothing wavering. Doubt. Doubt is the tool that Satan has used and will continue to use. He doesn't need to change the tool because it works very well. Go all the way back to the beginning. A simple question is why we see what we see going on in our world today. Did God really say that? That's a simple question. That's not, come with me to the college campus if you want. And that's not the kind of question that I get there. The kind of questions that I get there, well, if your God created everything, then who created your God? And if he could do anything, could he create a rock so big he couldn't move it? Do you know how I answer those guys? What does purple taste like? What does red smell like? Well, that's a dumb question. So is yours. Hey, you want to play games? Do it on somebody else's dime. What we have is serious. If you're serious, I'll give you all night long. But if you want to play games, you want to be a pig, you want to wallow around in the mud, go roll in the mud, because there's going to come a day when you're going to want to get clean. And that's when we'll get serious. I'm not going to play games with folks. We got to be straightforward. You want to ask real questions, I'll go after it. Let's do it. But Satan is using the exact same tool. The only difference is the questions are changing. And that's why we, think about this. Jesus asked the disciples, who do they say that I am? What does that mean? We've got to be engaged in the culture. We've got to know what's going on. What are the stumbling blocks that are keeping them from selling out? What are the questions that are being raised? The questions are going to change. The tools are going to remain the same. Doubt. And watch what happens. Verse 8 says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I'm going to suggest to you that if you want to see double-mindedness, ask a Christian a question about their faith. Why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? What about light from the further star? What about aliens? What about UFOs? Global flood? Where'd the water come from? Where'd the water go to? How'd you build a 450-foot long wooden boat wouldn't fall apart, leak like a sieve? How'd you get two of every seven of some 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat? You hear me? Ask a Christian those questions. You know what I see? I call it carp face. Anybody fish? Any fishermen? You know what I'm talking about? What good's a carp, man? I mean, catch an old carp, throw it up on the bank, and then it does carp face. Ask a Christian a question and watch them go carp face. And then they'll pull out the big gun, though. Oh, we've been trained. We got the big gun. Don't worry about that. That's a side issue. God loves you. Has a wonderful plan for your life. Try that. Come on. Grand Rapids, my daughter went to Cornerstone, graduated from Cornerstone. I've been in this area quite a bit. I lived in Chicago for a long time. I come over here quite a bit. I know it's a very church area, all right? You guys are blessed. But just because you got churches doesn't mean that you got a lot of Christians, all right? Because sitting in a church pew does not make you a Christian. I sat in church pews till I was 26 years old, and I was deader than a doornail, but I knew when to stand up, sit down, kneel, and I knew when the offering plate was coming. Go talk to those guys. Let's go stand on your street corner. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. You think it's going to work? Who's God? Who do you think he is? Who do you think he is? Who do you think he is? Come with me to Japan. Let's go to Japan and do ministry, street ministry. You ready? God loves you. 166,000 gods in Japan. Which one? Come back to our country. He loves you. Do you think this culture truly knows what love is? If you don't know God, you can't know love. How is love depicted in the culture? That's not love, that's lust. Wonderful plan. Do you honestly think that this generation can see a wonderful plan? Try it sometimes. Younger generation looks at me and says, I don't see a wonderful plan. All I see are millions of years of death and suffering. What kind of a loving God would do that? They can't see it because they don't believe this and they don't trust this. You see, the battle is over this. Unstable is just asking them basic questions. And you're going to see it because you're trying to put one foot on the world's wisdom and one foot on the Word of God, and those two foundations are not the same. And by the way, if a Christian isn't willing to put both feet firmly on the Word of God, and they make excuses and tap dance, God, I know what you wrote, but let me tell you what you meant. God, I know you said you created in 6 days and rested one, but God, you didn't quite understand science. Because you see, science has proven that the earth is millions of years old, so you know, those days weren't real days. They were actually long periods of time. Or there's a gap in between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And Lord, I know that you said we all go back to one man and one woman, but you didn't quite understand science, God, because you see, science has proven that a long time ago, ape-like ancestry evolved into the black man in Africa. And some of those black folks in Africa ate fish, got smart, moved north, and turned white. You're laughing. That's exactly what evolution teaches. I'll show you the video, the secular video. I don't need to use Christian creationist stuff when I talk about these things. I use their stuff. This is what this generation is getting taught. It's what they're getting fed. And you wonder why we have the racism that we have in our country today? You don't think it's an issue in our country today? I'm going to suggest to you a big part of the reason it's an issue in our country today is because for too long, we in the church have said Jesus with our lips, but with our minds, we let the world infiltrate our thinking. How do you get all those different, that's a different talk. We can't do all of it in one session. But guys, I'm going to suggest to you that you're going to see double-mindedness when you start talking to a Christian and you start asking them questions. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I like to do man-on-the-street interviews, love to see all these young folks in here. Young folks, it's a great ministry. You go out on the street with a camera, people will talk to you. It's true. If you go out and just try and talk to them, oh, weird. But if you got a camera, people will line up to talk to you. Everybody wants to get on camera. They think they're going to get on TV and be famous. And I'm like, dude, I see people come with a camera. I run the other direction. I don't want to be on TV and look like a fool. I mean, it's just, I already do that enough, so I don't want to have it on film. By the way, the camera doesn't need to work. Just take a camera. They'll line up, okay? And then you start asking Christians questions. Let me show you one of the interviews that we did. By the way, my goal in life is to not do any more worldview surveys. What? Yeah. I'm getting older. I feel it, man. I'm starting to start running down the hill. I want to get this younger generation stepping up and doing it. So I will be the cameraman. I want a generation to step up and start doing these things. So Cordero, this is done in Ann Arbor, Michigan, by the way. And so Cordero was a young man that they did the interview with, and Adam was the young man who did the interview. And he asked Cordero, "Cordero, do you read the Bible?" Cordero responded with, "Yes, I do." So praise God, this will be a good interview because we have a Bible reader. And then he asked him, "Okay, Cordero, how do you believe everything came into being? I'm going to give you four options. You know, God created in 6 days. God used millions of years. Intelligent design, there's something out there, we don't know what it is. Or naturalistic processes over millions of years." How did Cordero respond?
Well, I would definitely say that the Big Bang Theory definitely doesn't cover it to me. As far as what I've learned throughout my lifetime, I just basically go along with the 6 days of creation thing.
Isn't that great? Cordero reads the Bible. Cordero believes God created in 6 days. Isn't that great? Remember, you're unfrozen today. Isn't that great? That was horrible. Didn't you hear the hesitancy in the way that he responded? The way I was raised, I just kind of go along with. Let me be blunt with you. Young person, that's your faith. You are toast. You got carp face coming. Because I know how to do it to you. Just start throwing the questions at them. The way I was raised, what makes the way that you were raised any better than the way that they were raised? What about your book? What makes it any better than their book? What about that young girl in India that's never heard about the gospel? How could I love it? You hear me? Carp face. If you're coming at it with this kind of a faith, you're toast. Okay, Cordero, how about this one? How about this one? Do you believe the Bible contains mistakes or errors? It's about to get good.
I'd say...
there's confidence.
There are definitely some things that I read that seem kind of shaky to me, yeah.
And we wonder why 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. They don't trust the Word of God. If you don't trust the Word of God, if you can't sell out for Genesis 1, you'll never sell out for John 3:16. Let's just be honest. I have people telling me all the time, "Give them the book of John. Why should I give anybody the book of John if the book of Genesis isn't true?" Everything that takes place in John is predicated on the history that's in Genesis. You can't separate these things. It's the Word of God from the first verse to the very end. And if it's not, then who gets to pick where it's shaky and where it's not? You? Me? Oh, there's more. Let's keep going. How'd we get so many different races, Cordero? How'd we get the black people, the white people, the blue people, the green people, the yellow people? How'd we get all those different colored people if the Bible's correct, Cordero?
That, I honestly don't know.
By the way, why should I trust you on anything else if you can't answer that question? You don't think it's an issue in the church? It's an issue in the church. We've dropped a ball on this issue. I was supposed to speak in Johnson City, Tennessee a few years ago. Pastor calls up excited. He said, "Carl, we never get phone calls for guest speakers." I've had people call from three different states. He was excited. 10 minutes into the conversation, he canceled the speaking event. I'm pretty good with PR. Any small business owners out there, you need a guy to do some side work for you. I can take him from excited to canceled. Just give me 10 minutes. What happened? He found out that my wife is Japanese. And the church bylaws state that if they let a man who's in a quote-unquote interracial marriage speak in their pulpit, the pastor would be removed from ministry. He said, "Carl, I can't let you speak. They'll remove me from ministry. You're in an interracial marriage." Pastor, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says we all go back to one man. Genesis 3:20 says Eve was the mother of all living, so that means we all go back to one woman. Acts 17:26 says we're all of one blood. The Bible never talks about race other than running a good race, so therefore there's no such thing as interracial marriage. So biblically, how can you defend that position, sir? Canceled, Carl. Boom. You don't think it's an issue in the church? It's an issue in the church. You can't answer that? Why should I trust you on anything else? Okay, how about this? Science has proven that the earth is millions of years old. Everybody knows it. Come on. Everybody knows it. But the Bible, when you read the Bible, it's really hard to put the millions of years into the scripture. So if the scripture's correct, how do you explain fossils that are 100, 200, 300, 400 million years old? Let me ask that question in another way. Fill in the blank. The wages of sin is? Excuse me? You fundamentalist hicks. Where'd they dig you up from? You believe the wages of sin is death? Come on with me. Let's go down to a local museum, which, by the way, I love leading tourists to. Why are we running and hiding from museums? We need to infiltrate and teach how to think biblically on them. Love them. Come with me to the Smithsonian. Come with me to the Denver Museum. Come with me to the London Museum of Natural History. They are wonderful places for ministry. I'll show you a fossil that's 400 million years old. That's a dead thing, by the way, and that dead thing is long before Adam ever came onto the scene. Are you starting to see a problem? If you start poking millions of years into the Scripture, you start having some issues. God said, needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian. Now, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? God said. Huh. How do you answer that, Cordero?
And that, it's really hard to say. Like I'm saying, like my personal opinion, just from the way I was raised, I go along with the biblical definitions of most things, but I guess I really couldn't answer that question.
Come on, Carl, it's Sunday, man. Lighten up. It's heavy. Lighten up. Okay, let's ask an easy question. How'd they get two of every seven of some 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat, Cordero? That's what the Bible says. How'd they fit all those animals on a boat?
Once again, sorry if this doesn't help much, but no clue.
Answer me this. Christian and non-Christian, do we have the same stars? Couldn't hear you. Do we have the same rocks? Do we have the same people? Why do we explain the evidence so differently? It's got nothing to do with the evidence. It has everything to do with your starting point, with your worldview, your bias, your presupposition. We all have the exact same evidence. Why is it that we come to so many different conclusions? Because of the way that we observe and interpret the evidence. Let me give you an illustration. I love working with the young folks, and so I'll ask them this. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? Now, I'm going to help you because I'm a nice guy. There's no magnets, there's no strings, there's no air, and there's no reverse photography. Air was a really creative suggestion. Air blowing them uphill. Nope, there's no air. The first thing that I tell this younger generation is that when somebody asks you a question, you better question the question. Because you see, I can ask questions in such a way that you can't give a correct response. What questions should we be asking? How about this one? Are the balls rolling uphill? Now, that's a really good question. And that all depends on your perspective. Now, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the exact same evidence that the world has, and all I'm going to do is I'm going to twist it, and we're going to look at it from a different perspective. In our world today, why are we losing 50 to 88% of the young people? I'm going to suggest to you that it's because of those young folks, 80 to 85% of them from the church are sent to the world to be trained by the world to think like the world, and then we wonder why they go to the world. Oh, Carl, you're stepping on toes. You can't talk about where to educate our children. You're closed-minded. Excuse me. Let me make all y'all mad, okay? Can I make all y'all mad? Thank you. Is it the government's job to educate our children? Is it the church's job to educate our children? Is it mom's primary responsibility to educate our children? Whose job is it? Biblically. Dads. Ladies, turn your ears off for a second because I got to talk to the men. Gentlemen, we're losing 50 to 88% of our young people, and we want to whine about the White House. We want to whine about the church house. And we want to whine about the schoolhouse. The problem is none of those houses. The problem is you're in my house. If we're losing 50 to 88% of our young people, the day has come that we got to man up, look in the mirror, and say, not on my dime. These are my children. They were entrusted to me. And if I choose to let the government help me in my responsibility to educate my child, I got to be involved in the process. If I choose to let the church help me, I got to be involved in the process. And if I let mom help me, there. All y'all mad? That's homeschool, public school, Christian school, okay? You better be involved in the process. Now, I know some ladies are out there, and you're a hater, and you don't understand. I'm a single-parent home, and I am not a hater. My heart breaks for ladies that are in that position. But gentlemen, you got children. You got a responsibility to pour into your children. Quit pawning them off. Quit abdicating that responsibility to anybody else. Get involved. 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church are gone by the time they're age 18. And it's my job to deal with it as a father. Ladies, you can listen again. You see, the problem is this. You can only talk about what you know about. I was raised in a system. Stand up, sit down, kneel. I had children. I didn't know what to teach my children. I didn't have a clue. I knew stand up, sit down, kneel. But the Word of God, that's where the battle is. How to apply that faith in the real world. Let me just kind of do it like this. Remember that question that I asked about, well, if your God created everything, then who created your God? Remember that one? I'm only going to have time to answer like one question, so let's go for that one, all right? Is it okay if I answer that one? That was a really weak response. Is it okay if I answer that one? Okay, thank you. Now, the way that I answer it, you may not be ready for, because if you can't tell by now, I'm a little off, okay? So are you ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Tostitos, how'd you think of these Scoops chips?
It was the 1990s. Dips had become extreme. Layers of intense ingredients. It was too much. I was a broken chip, and I needed to change. But how? I wandered the world looking for answers. I looked at stuff. Then it hit me. I changed my shape. Now I'm ready for any dip.
Even this big old dip? Booyah!
Bring it! Bring it!
Booyah!
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 You were not ready for that. Because I'm looking at some of y'all's faces. You're like, who created God? You're showing a Tostitos commercial? Yep, I am. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in here who honestly, genuinely believes that a bag of chips can talk? Thank you. Those folks are really hard to have conversations with. And unfortunately, I'm running into more and more of them on the college campuses, okay? How about this one? Does anybody honestly, genuinely believe that a chip can change its shape all by itself? Doesn't like the way that it looks, so it's going to change its shape. Anybody? 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 Nobody. Good. Okay, so that's ridiculous, Carl. You're talking about a chip changing its shape? That's ridiculous. Okay, then answer me, why is this science?
Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains, butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and me.
So it's ridiculous to think that a chip can change its shape, but it's science to believe that over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains and butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and I. That's science, Carl. What? Seriously? I got the problem? Because I believe in a God that created the way that he said that he did, and if he did it the way that he said that he did, there should be evidence for it, and I look around this world, what do I see? Huh, wow, it's amazing. I look at your sanctuary here. You guys are so fortunate that you are living next door to a brick factory, and it exploded and just formed this old building, just put it together for you. Some explosion in a brick factory. How much more ridiculous is it to think that hydrogen gas could transform itself into everything that we see? You think we have the problem? Look, let me put it to you like this. For the person that's honest when they ask me this question, here's what I'll do to them. I'll show them that and I'll say, so help me, help me. Do you understand this, that Christians and non-Christians, we all have the same evidence. And by the way, Christians and non-Christians both have a creator. They do. Christians and non-Christians both have a creator. And both of those creators begin with the letter G. Both of them have three letters. And both of them existed for all eternity. They have no beginning. They have no end. Now, me as a Christian, I have God, capital G. He created the way that he said that he did. And I look at the human body. I look at the heavens declare the glory of God. I see design. I see order. I see beauty. I see purpose, okay? It's fallen because of sin, and I can do that. But now let's go to your position. You also have a creator that has existed for all eternity that begins with the letter G. It's a lowercase g. It's gas. So let me put it to you simply. You either have God or you got gas. And one of those theories smells much worse than the other. Now, if you got gas, Beano might help you with it, but I'm not going there. You got to make a decision which way you're going to go. You think hydrogen gas could transform itself into everything that we see? I got one word for you. Really? One word. Show the video, please.
Inconceivable!
You see, Christian, if we're going to become bold, we've got to recognize and realize here's the battle. We have a generation that has gone to a school, 900 hours a year. That's the average time a young person spends in a school. And in that 900 hours a year, they are taught a history of astronomy that totally undermines the Word of God. And then that child spends 1,064 hours. These are the averages, okay? 1,064 hours in front of a TV set. And in that TV set, the messages that they're getting there are reinforcing what they hear in the 900 hours in the school. Then many of those young folks are gamers. Any game? Oh, I don't want to have you raise hands. 936 hours a year playing video games. Did you hear that number? More time playing video games than in school. And we wonder why a generation is walking away because, oh, we bring them to church for an hour a week. Seriously, an hour a week, you're going to overcome the 900 hours in a school, 1,064 in front of a TV, 936 in front of a video game? You honestly think in an hour a week, and what do you do in that hour a week? Well, hopefully you're not one of the mega churches that I spoke at that does 10-minute power messages with the kids. 10-minute power message. What? They asked me to come do a 10-minute power message. I turned them down. I said, I can't do it. I can't tell you my name in 10 minutes. I'm long-winded. We do it every week. You're better than me. I can't do it. Guys, 10-minute power messages? The world's got them. Teach them this history of astronomy that undermines the Word of God. I'm going to tell you that we have a history of astronomy from the Word of God. When you start with the Word of God, God said, which needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian, God said He created the earth on day one. God said He created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. Does that deal with astronomy? Yes, it does. How many have been trained to take that and apply it in the world around me? Let me give you one little simple example just to reinforce what I'm saying. What we see in the world, is it consistent with what we read in the Word of God? Do you know how many observable stars there are in the sky? I'm not talking total number of stars. That's a big number. I'm just talking about the ones we can see using the greatest technology that we have today. It's a 7 followed by 22 zeros. Who invented counting that high? Seriously, Carl, your job is to invent counting. Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20, done. We don't need any numbers bigger than 20. A 7 followed by 22 zeros, do you know how big that number is? It's greater than every grain of sand on every beach and desert on our planet. We don't know how to make a single star from naturalistic processes. Oh, star explodes. Force of that explosion causes this gas to come together to make a star. Where'd that star come from? And where'd the gas come from? The heavens declare the glory of God. By the way, that number is greater than every grain of sand on every beach and desert? 10 times greater. And the God that you and I serve, He knows every one of the stars by name. He knows us even better. Guys, the God that we serve is so much greater than that. What about biology? Do we have a history of biology? Yeah, younger generation's getting taught that. Black man eats fish, moves north, turns white. What did God say? One man, one woman. What does science say? Y chromosome, we go back to one man. Mitochondrial DNA, we go back to one woman. And by the way, this is going to shock you. That one man and that one woman, they actually lived at the same time. I got the headline. I was like, duh, it's not going to work any other way, okay? And by the way, I could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. What about geology? Does the Bible give us a history of geology? Yes, it does. Come next year, I got a card out at the table out there. I got a card. I got one right here. Yeah, I brought it. Dig dinosaur bones. You think that what we see in the world doesn't support what God said He did, the way that He said that He did? Hey, maybe you don't want to go. Sponsor a young person to go. I am dreaming of getting young people out so that they're getting their hands dirty. They're seeing what the world actually shows. Get out and see what the world actually has. I'm telling you right now, when you look at the world through the lens of God's Word, it screams that God did what He said that He did the way that He said that He did. But you have to teach a generation how to do it. Come dig dinosaur bones with us. They scream a global flood. Here's my point. I got to wrap. We have a generation that spends 900 hours a year being trained to think like the world. And then we've come along and we've tried to reach that generation with our hour a week in church. The world teaches facts, we teach fairy tale. Many times. Let me tell you a Bible story. Let me tell you a Bible story. These aren't Bible stories, this is historical accounts. This is from the only one who's always been there, who knows everything, who told us what happened, and you can go to the bank on what he said. But you see, you got a generation that's been raised and trained and taught to see this as just stories, and they don't know how to apply it in the real world. We got to quit teaching what to think and teach a generation how to think, how to apply their faith in the real world. I had to skip some other teaching, but guys, let me tell you, anybody have smartphone? Smartphone? Anybody? Smartphone? You're kidding me. Five people with a smartphone in this audience. When you leave church, you're not supposed to have your phone on in church. When you leave church, I want you to go to your app store because I want you to download our app. There's a card out on the table out there called Reasons for Hope. It's free of charge. I'm not trying to nickel and dime you. Over 10 hours of video because I want you to have materials. I want you to have tools to put in your hands. It's free. You see, I got passionate about this because of a very specific reason. My son came to me about 6 years ago and he told me that I was going to be a grandfather. And when my son told me that, I got super convicted because, you see, I see what's going on in the world around me. I see this generation that's under attack. And this is my grandson and my granddaughter from my son's side. And this is my grandson and my granddaughter on my daughter's side. By the way, my wife is Japanese. Child's half Japanese. Grandchild's a quarter Japanese. She's blonde hair, green-eyed. You think skin color is an issue? It's not. It's a genetic trait. We can deal with it. It's not a deal. But you see, my heart got broken because I was like, is my own son going to be able to pour into his children? Because I see the battle that's going on in the culture. So I made a very strong commitment. I said, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to go. And I just started going after this younger generation of dads. I would beg you for your prayers. It's a battle. I can show you video after video after video of younger generation that's under attack. But you know what? I got to end. I got to finish. My goal in life is not to win an argument. It's not to beat anybody up with my IQ or anything like that because I can't do it. I can't impress you with my IQ. I'm the son of a professional wrestler. I'm a simple man. But my goal in life is to see this happen. Short video, finish, and the folks are coming up. I thank you for letting me be with you. I really do.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there's freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.